Well, good Friday morning to our West Shore Business Podcast. As usual, my business, well, not my business, well, almost my business partner in many ways, Kelly Darwin, CEO and owner of the Seriously Creative, the world's best website developer and social media marketer. What do you think about that, world's best, wow. Kelly?
We're done. That's it.
We're done, right? Let's just go. And of course, we also have today Mike Wignall of Westbrook Consultants. Now, Mike, how are you this morning?
I'm fine, thanks.
Oh, fantastic. You were one of our first, if not the first.
I think the first, yeah.
Hey?
And I think so, yeah.
This is a reunion show.
Right?
Where are they now?
That's right. And Kelly, I think we've done about 30 since then, haven't we?
Yeah, something around there.
You know, so Mike, you're the inspiration. You were the inspiration, okay, for this West Shore Dialogue to really grow. Anyway, we'd love to chat with you about really how things have gone since we talked 2-3 months ago, and I guess really more specifically around.
Has anything happened in 2 or 3 months?
No, right? Nothing at all.
Anything new?
Completely normal.
and so, you know, we'd love to really get an update on the economy in the West Shore. You're right in the middle of it. So maybe refresh our speakers again around exactly what you do and what is going on in Langford. We interviewed Stu a lot of time for the COVID stuff, mm-hmm. and it appeared that the municipality never really shut down. In fact, it was busier than ever.
Yeah. So we're very fortunate that, you know, our business is civil engineering, and most of our, probably about 85% of our workload is involved with private development, and the other 15% being municipal projects. It was a daunting thing looking into, but we've, so far so good. The work has never really slowed down. If mm-hmm. anything, like I took 2 weeks off at the beginning of it because I was already planning to be in Washington State, but of course that never happened. But the first couple of weeks, as we sort of got used to this idea of working on our own, from many of us from home, they weren't going full bore, but it felt like within a couple of weeks, everybody was figuring out how we're going to communicate in this new way, and things just got right back to normal. And while it was quiet with the clients initially, everything sort of fell back into place within a couple of weeks. And now it feels that as things are being loosened up a bit, it feels like now we're getting even more clients or new projects that people want us to take a look at. So
that's fantastic.
It seems like construction's like going full tilt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Mike, you really brought up a fascinating point. So you guys transitioned to a digital communication environment, and that seemed to be quite seamless for you. And it turns out it looks like it was quite seamless for your clients. Why don't you go into a little bit more detail around what that looked like?
So we had Microsoft Teams as a software that we used beforehand, but, you know, me being a little bit old school, I really didn't see the point of it. It seemed like another layer of access to somebody, like, you know, another one over email or over text messaging. And I really didn't see the point. And then I was always a bit of a neophyte when it came to video conferencing. I'd always find people to set it up for me.
Yeah, you know, as we all were, my friend. Yeah.
But with the COVID isolation, you're sort of forced into it. And it was amazingly smooth. And between Zoom and Microsoft Teams, it's been really, really simple. For example, on Friday afternoons, we always used to have a staff meeting to plan for the following Monday, and those meetings still continue today, and it's great. It's just like everybody's there. It's like watching Hollywood Squares maybe a little bit, but
right,
you know, everybody's there and they're all contributing and there's banter back and forth. So
that's how many staff do you have, Mike? How many would be on that call?
Initially, it was 19, but one of them was a university co-op student. He's since gone back to school, so we're okay. 18. I've got 4 field people, so they're not always on the call. But, yeah, I would say it can be, you know, 12 or 15 people any given time.
Okay, and do they, and sorry to go into the details around this, but I think people are fascinated about this. Do you find that folks talk over each other, or is there a semblance of sort of respect? How does that, or do you organize that?
It's a free-for-all, and there's okay. no significant talking over of each other.
Yeah.
Sometimes two people go to speak at once, and one will yield to the other one. So okay. yeah, there's it's quite naturally efficient.
Okay, because there's a lot of sorry, Kelly, I'm just a little fascinated by this. There's a lot of yeah. Go ahead.
I was gonna say we're starting to learn the new skill of how to have these meetings without total chaos.
Yes.
Right.
I didn't want to talk over you while saying that.
Right. That would have been so perfect. Well, now I'm seeing, you know, whereas in the early days there was a lot of communication coming out of Zoom around security, passwords, you know, making sure people don't bomb your meetings. Now I'm seeing, you know, the etiquette of these meetings, how to conduct these meetings, how to hold them so that you actually can have 20 people, they're all contributing. Someone like me isn't dominating the conversation. It's really good. Thanks, Mike. That's fascinating.
I did issue a sort of a draft team meeting etiquette memo of a couple of weeks ago, and it hasn't really gone too far. But you know, there's little things like don't eat when you're on the video, and
right.
all these things that you don't sort of think of before, but you know, they come into it. You know, or don't, you know, if you got a noise on the background, make sure you mute your microphone. There's all those little things that are different now, but we learn pretty fast.
But they're very real. I don't see us entirely going back to this is now the new normal.
Yeah.
Agreed. My wife has a number of medical appointments in the normal world. And, yeah. you know, my day would be, a lot of days I'd be driving to town for a different doctor's appointment. Now we're doing a lot of them on Zoom. And I would actually be quite happy to continue that way, because you drive home, you talk for 15 minutes and you get back to work.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Much more efficient day.
Well, both you and Kelly's got wide networks into the West Shore community through the Chamber of Commerce and through different organizations, as do you. Tell us the state of business as we stand here, end of May, as opposed to, I guess, when we chatted end of February, I think. How we're thinking.
It was end of one of the Februarys.
Right.
Well, from my perspective, it's going on like it hasn't stopped. I feel terrible for the retail industry. You know, the Home Depots and the Canadian Tires of the world, they're doing okay, although I'm sure their revenues are probably down because they can only allow so many people in the store. But yeah. as far as the development construction area goes, it seems to be just going. And
is it in a specific kind of area, Mike? Is it primarily residential, commercial, or combination? Or
I think it's everything.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, stuff is just still rolling, and it's we all sort of had to figure out how to work in isolation from each other, but the work never stopped.
Wow. That's what a story.
Yeah.
I think one of the last podcasts we did with Stu, he was saying that in Langford, housing starts were up over last year, even in the middle of this.
That could very well be.
Development permits.
Or maybe it was development.
Yeah. Yeah.
When they first started talking about the various government programs, and I haven't applied for any at this point because I don't feel that I need it. And there are other people that do need it, but you know, one of them, there is a talk about how you had to prove how your revenue had dropped year over year.
Yes.
Your revenue increased. So, you know, I really can't complain.
That means you have to give them a government money.
At some point, you betcha.
It has been sector specific, hasn't it, Mike and Kelly? You know, out here on the peninsula where I do quite a bit of consulting work, we have seen the companies that are related to home self-improvement, stuff to do around the yard, like that would be Slag Supplies. Well, they're going crazy. This past long weekend they had the busiest Saturday they've ever had. You know, Epicure Selections, which creates these spices and food products out in North Saanich, they need 50 people.
Yeah.
I mean, just to keep up, you know, because people are cooking at home more and And so I don't entirely see a lot of that changing.
Yeah, it's I think it's one of those moments in time where we're going to look back and say, wow, everything changed after that. And, you know, the traditional retail brick and mortar, you know, let's hope they all come back. But I mean, the ones that are going to survive are the ones that are going to diversify and get into a little bit of a mail order or an online business. We never ordered Skip the Dishes before, but we used to go out for dinner every Saturday night. And now we're regular Skip the Dishes people. And that, again, that's something I hadn't tried, but it's flawless.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I think my wife can't, there's a wait list for that.
Yeah.
I think I don't know. Maybe I'm getting that all wrong. I think I am. I'm sorry.
We've been doing the skip every Wednesday night.
Yeah.
I don't know. Somebody decided that was a good night that everybody should order. So we've been doing that. We used to skip a lot. And now with the social distancing and the quarantine, we're cooking a lot more.
Yeah.
Nice. And we keep talking about buying local too, buying the meat from the farm, and we're growing vegetables and all of that.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a new normal around food and how we access food and where we access it from.
Yeah.
It's hey, good Mike, education too, because we're all learning that it is really hard to grow stuff. It's a lot of work. Like you gotta weed every couple of days. It's a ton of work, and then the birds come and take it all away. And
The birds or the deer. Mike, one of the longer term pre-COVID issues around the West Shore and West Shore business development has always been around transportation modes, how folks get around, how they get around to other communities. You know, I'm just wondering out loud here whether this is, you know, we have seen the dismantling of globalization. Countries are starting to find themselves more self-sufficient. Do you see the West Shore moving that way? Do you actually see potentially it being, you know?
Potentially. I mean, I was a little bit cynical on this idea of working from home before it happened. One of my techs had pitched to me 6 months ago that he wanted to work from home 2 days a week. And I pushed him off a little bit and said, yeah, let's think about that, because I really didn't see how it was going to work. But now they've all proven to me how it works. And so I can see stuff like that. And, you know, our office, every seat is spoken for. So, yeah, I can see a situation where you do sort of start alternating workspace and get efficiencies there for sure.
That's one of the things we're looking at too, is can we do a sort of hybrid approach where you work 2 or 3 days from home and the rest in the office, but we stagger those days among different employees. So there's less people there at the same time. And I'm getting more done because I'm not driving to work and back every day. Mm-hmm. And I'm not driving to meetings every day. And I think that for the future, we're definitely going to be looking at this as a way to be more efficient. We can get more done. We can do better work.
Yeah.
Especially for creatives, who sometimes you hit that creative block and you want to go, you know, go for a walk and then come back and the juices are flowing again and you get back. So you're not stuck or confined to that 9-to-5 anymore either.
Yeah. So one issue I'm finding is it's a double-edged sword. I've been amazed at the productivity that I'm getting out of my people working from home. And you'd think, oh, they're going to be, you know, go and get a cup of coffee or whatever. But I think that they're very focused on the work. And in that respect, they're more efficient. But what we are missing is when they're in the office, there are distractions, but there's also a healthy banter going on. And we work with, you know, type A personalities a lot. Big amounts of money are on the line, timing, deadlines, etc. And I've always tried to keep an air of lightness about it as much as I can, because I don't want everybody to get ulcers worrying about, you know, we're all going to get it done, but let's just enjoy ourselves along the way. Mm-hmm. And if there is a negative about the distance thing at all, it's that I'm not getting that as much from the crew, and I'm trying to find a way to sort of get a little more of that team morale back, because I've got a whole bunch of individuals now instead of the group.
Right. Fascinating.
That's always been my argument towards an office.
Yeah.
In our industry, there's a lot of people that work from home or co-office space or coffee shops. And I always like to have the office with the big whiteboard so we can all get around it. We can share ideas. We can do team things. And maybe that hybrid office work from home mix will allow us to kind of, bring some of that back. Maybe not to the way it was before, but maybe it'll be a better quality with less time together.
I think so. I find now that when somebody comes in to, pick up something or drop something off, it's like, hey, it's Bob. Great. Hey, look, everybody's excited to see them and they're excited to be here. So we need to find a way to keep that,
keep the humanity
going that we have.
It's probably going to be the end sort of challenge for folks using for all of us using these online conferencing tools is how do we maintain the human? It's more efficient. You can do a lot more of them. To your point, Mike, probably folks are maybe more comfortable in this environment. Frankly, at the end of the day, a whole bunch of transportation time is eliminated. There's that final barrier, that being the teamwork, the camaraderie of just being together.
Yes.
And since you were our inspiration at the very beginning, you will likely solve that problem the next time we talk to you, maybe midsummer.
I'm sure going to be working on it. The technical people used to, around 10 o'clock every day, they'd walk across the street to Tim Hortons and there'd be five or six of them go across and it was something they did and it was a good break for them all. And right after we went on the social isolation, they set up a Teams group called Timmy's Run. And they would make a point of chatting every morning around 9:30 or 10. And I participated in some of them. And it was sort of a replacement for the Timmy's Run that they used to do, which was great. But now that's drifted off, and people
totally
are doing their work. And I need them for their own mental health to get back into the Timmy's Run and at least just chat.
Yeah. Fascinating. Wow. What a great human angle that I never anticipated. In terms of, are there some industry trends happening in the West Shore that you are seeing? In other words, is there a technology based industry client sort of emerging, manufacturing, small business? We're really hearing that because of this efficiency and ability to work from home, blah blah blah. We're seeing some of the municipalities, I think, of revisiting some of their density issues because they don't have to create as many offices, maybe like manufacturing. I'm really curious if there is a trend or maybe there's not.
I haven't seen one yet.
Okay.
But it is interesting because we're all about, for years we've argued that density is the solution to an increasing population on a limited land.
Right.
and yet, of course, the denser areas like New York City are the ones that are taking the big hits. So we've got that's a challenge or a dance we're going to have to do. Definitely the team meetings and Zoom meetings and things like that. I can see that very much reducing traffic loading and things like that. So that, that will, I think in time will bear itself out as well.
Well, what some of the solutions I'm hearing at a national level through some of the ACT-EV agencies is that as opposed to having 10 companies in a building as tenants, there might be just simply a couple of larger meeting spaces that everyone rents. So you work at home, and then to your point, you have this sort of physical meeting maybe once or twice a week, as opposed to 10 companies in this building.
Yeah. Well, Len Wansborough is doing that out on Whale Road right now by the Holiday Inn.
Yeah.
It's Coastal Offices or something.
Right.
And they provide space and they've got a central receptionist and one of my wife's doctors is rent space in there. And it's like a great way to go if you're sort of at that intermediate size business where you're working from home, but you do need some office time. It seems like a great solution.
Yeah.
That incidentally was our number two podcast on the West Shore Business.
Oh, yeah.
Hey. At Coastal Offices. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, this is a great summary, Mike. I really appreciate your time. I mean, it's great. You're busy and such an insight into how businesses are adapting to these changing times.
So I want to say, I guess I want to get 2 points and you can figure out how this gets mashed in. But number one, I want to say that I feel very fortunate, as I said in the beginning, and I recognize that there are people that are struggling. So I am a little bit cautious as I, you know, I don't sort of brag about how well we're doing, but we're really very lucky. The second thing is that we're only as strong as our staff, and I have to have tuned in, dedicated, motivated, happy staff as much as possible. So when this thing first hit, actually a little bit before that, word came down from one of the guys in the field that workers comp, now you've got to wear eye protection when you're on any work site. So the cost for these things is very small. So I just bought everybody that could be out in the field a set of eye protection. So I ended up buying, I guess, about 16 sets of goggles or glasses for everybody. And just as a, here, you've got them. Don't worry about it, you got them. So when the COVID thing hit, before we started self-isolating, I arranged with my pharmacist to buy vitamin C bottles for each person. You know, I said, we got to all be in vitamin C or something. So it was meant to be more of a, here, try this, but also I care about you. And yeah. I want you to be healthy and here, take this from the company. The other thing, when we first got into doing the remote meetings, I bought headsets, gamer headsets for everybody, like I'm wearing right now.
Yeah, very impressive.
And just for the quality. So you're not dealing with the laptop microphone cutting in, cutting out. And again, it's a small cost in the order of magnitude of the business, but then everybody's set up, right? I always want people to have the right tools and not be frustrated by what they're doing. And then the last thing that we've done is we were isolated to the point that I didn't feel that the face masks were necessary. But as things are being released, I can see there being situations where, you know, you will need to wear a mask to get a haircut, which is something I really should do. Things like
that. Oh, we're not on video, so it's great. Oh,
that's fine. So, and I'm happy for that. But yeah. So we, you know, with the Langford program across the street from our office where they're selling masks at cost, I went and bought 10 masks for every employee. And I gave them out and, you know, here I'm, you know, I don't care what you use them for, but here's 10 masks. So you don't have to worry about either attending a work meeting or a personal appointment and not having a mask. I just want to take that, whatever I can do to reduce anxiety, make them feel wanted. And I'm looking out for them wherever I can. I think that's really important, particularly right now, as you know, there is some anxiety around.
Well, that's phenomenal leadership and caring. And frankly, I wish every business owner was like that. I know Kelly is, and I would try to be like that. But I think there are some folks that are not like that, and that is not helping.
It's false economy. The cost to have a happy employee is minimal in the grander scheme of things, and the cost, the benefit of a happy employee is priceless.
Wow, that's inspirational. And thank you. That's a great way to end our podcast today. When we started, we had 11 people listening.
Okay.
And we now have 48 bazillion.
Wow.
Bazillion. Yeah. Yeah. We've had to go to other planets. Oh my gosh, Mike, we just love you. These are great lessons, great anecdotes, and can't wait to chat with you again, hopefully midsummer, and you can
sounds good.
Sort of let us know where things all ended up.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us again. We look forward to round 3.
Yeah, perfect. Mike, take care.